Students Who Design is a podcast and video series that bridges students and the design industry. By students, for students. Be sure to check out our website, studentswho.design.
This is Students Who Design.
Today we'll be talking to Lu Han. She studied economics at UC Berkeley and now works as a product designer at Spotify.
This episode covers finding design roles at your university, working with cross-functional teams, and so much more. We hope you enjoy the episode.
Students Who Design is sponsored in part by Facebook Design. For more resources and information about designing at Facebook, visit facebook.design and check out open roles at facebook.com/careers.
Hi, Lou. First off, we'd like to introduce what school you recently graduated from, your major, and where you're working now.
Sure. So I recently graduated from Berkeley in the Bay Area, where I studied economics and... What was the third question?
Oh, it's where are you currently working now?
Okay, and I'm currently working at Spotify in New York.
Cool. And can you describe your path to product design?
Sure. So it wasn't a very straightforward path, but basically freshman year, I was trying to figure out what to do on campus and figure out what group I wanted to get into. And so I joined the school newspaper because my high school didn't have a paper. We were like a really small high school. And I thought that would be fun. And I joined as actually an illustrator and an arts writer for a couple different reasons. So illustrator because I've just like always liked making art and I've been drawing since I was like a little toddler. So it's just like a continuation of like, how do I get myself to keep drawing as school gets busier and stuff. And then arts writing, I didn't intend on joining as an arts writer, but I went to orientation and the arts department was just talking about what they do, which is basically like interview like movie directors or musicians and go to cool shows. And I was like, that sounds like fun. Sign me up for that. So I ended up doing those two things. And I didn't actually get into design or even know it was a field until I started getting more involved in the design department as an illustrator.
The design department of the paper.
The paper. And so most people in that department were layout designers. And in order to hire more layout designers, I had to like learn how to do layout design and train them with that. And so I learned that. Layout design is probably the most boring job in the world.
So this is like newspaper layout.
Yeah.
Like print design stuff.
Yeah, so it's like...
a printed newspaper?
It was both print and online.
Okay.
So at that time, I was like fitting paragraphs into inches, and that was really boring. But I figured now that I know how to use these programs and stuff, I'll try the same thing, but on the web department. And that's where I found out about like the whole field of like UX design and design thinking and stuff like that. Just because the other students working at that department were like very into that whole world.
And so you worked both on print and digital for this newspaper. Realized that user experience is a field. And then how did you move from that to actually doing product design as a current career?
Right. So I think that like lined up pretty well with when I started like recruiting for economics related jobs and found...
So you're an econ major?
Yes.
Okay.
And I found that there was maybe like somewhat of a mismatch. Like I would go to these events and people would be like...
She would always like Goldman Sachs and be like, where's your design department?
Yeah. Yeah. Or like they would ask me like, so what makes you interested in... I don't know, like hedge funds or like accounting, and it'd be like, you know, I don't know. So trying to figure out like what else I wanted to do and discovering this like new field. Going from there, I guess I like tried to just like figure my way around it just through the people that I knew, like the friends that I made at the paper. I asked them like how they went about like getting into that field. And actually, like, a really helpful thing for me was speaking to one of the design recruiters at Andreessen Horowitz. So my friend recommended that I talk to her because he helped, she helped him sort of recruit for, like, his jobs and stuff. And she basically told me, like, what all of these companies are looking for, like, in somebody's portfolio. So I built up my portfolio from scratch, like not having worked anywhere really as like a product designer, just with like what she said to keep in mind, which is basically like just show your process and like show your thinking. And the more of that you can articulate, the more that people will understand like how you approach things as a designer. And so from there, I just started applying to design internships.
And so you studied economics at Berkeley. And I want to touch on that because I'm sure there's a lot of students who might, you know, just be like a junior or senior and they're like about to finish their business major or a non-design or art, fine arts type of degree, but they want to become a creative. And how did you try to either use or try to take advantage of a non-related degree to help you either recruit for product design or just become a better designer?
Right. So I think design is one of those fields where it is really helpful to have like a second lens. Like anything else you can bring from life or your interests actually really helps you, you know, break out of like your mode of thinking or whatever. And so I definitely tried to like make the most of my economics major, and found that like you can always find like crossover and overlap in anything, right? Mm-hmm. And so in economics, that was like behavioral economics. So I took courses in that and like brushed up on what I could, and also like the aspects of just like an understanding of business needs. I feel like is something that really appeals to like design departments because that's often like one of the stakeholders for design, right? Like you may design something like wonderful and creative and that like users really like, but then there's always going to be the news that like, hey, there are these like actual like real world things happening with a company background, and being able to understand that perspective of it, I think helps a lot too.
And so you were part of Innovative Design at Berkeley. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you could touch more on what that organization is and how did it help you grow as a designer?
Sure. So that's, I feel like, probably the biggest design group at Cal. And they have like all these different tiers and different like groups. Like they have like a photography tier. And I don't know, it's just full of like super enthusiastic people who are really, really into design or photography or whatever creative field it is. And I think there I definitely like did more graphic design stuff, which is also helpful, I think, because like, before it was more like UX type stuff.
Mm-hmm. And so you came into Cal, and I think like a lot of people might struggle to find that niche at their university. Mm-hmm. Especially someplace like Berkeley is huge.
Yeah.
And you know, people don't necessarily know where to go to as a first semester freshman, or if they want to make the switch, like what groups to find. Mm-hmm. How were you able to find the niches and design communities at Cal?
Right. So I think like following your gut of like whatever it is you're interested in is probably the most important thing. Because whatever you do that's like, oh, I should probably do this for like work or for school or whatever, in the end is never going to be as helpful as like, I'm doing this because I'm really excited about it.
Yeah.
So I think, like for me, I would never expect like design and the newspaper to go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. But I think that like whatever your skills are, you can apply them to like whatever specific niche you're interested in. But at the same time, it can be helpful to like be in a group like Innovative Design and have like a bunch of people going through the same things as you, and like definitely when you're like recruiting and stuff, that's helpful just to like have people there.
Off each other, like mock interview, like all that stuff.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, I would say like maybe try to go for both, like trying to find people who are going through like really similar things as you, but then also like whatever you're already interested in, just like pursue it. I'm sure you can apply your skills to that.
So I think some students might feel a bit lost or just like they're not contributing enough when they're in such a big club or organization or consultancy. So what are some things that either you did to improve on your own or that students could do to improve on their own time with all the other stuff that's going on in school?
Right. I think just having like real world practice is also really helpful. So if you can do like contract work for like a startup or something, just like make sure you're like finding a good project and like
make sure you get paid.
Yes. Make sure you get paid and that you're working with like cool people who aren't trying to like take advantage of you and stuff. But having like that, like real projects, I think will give you like tons of experience really quickly.
And so starting off, you worked on a lot more layout design, you said, and then you moved to digital. And so what tools were you trying to learn on your own to like make the best out of that experience, as well as any tools that you thought startups found very relevant or that made you attractive for that contract work?
Do you mean like tools like software
or
like
tools,
anything?
It
like
should be like the skill set. Just because it's, I think once you know what skill set you have to develop, then it's just up to you that, okay, I need to take the time out and do this.
Sure.
But if you don't know what that is, then it's like, where do I go?
Yeah. I guess like at a base level, just being familiar with the software, like I use Sketch. At the time I used Illustrator, but whatever you need to do to feel comfortable enough to like make your vision real. But actually like the most important skill that I think, I had a really great mentor at my first internship that he really emphasized was like sketching. And having come from like a visual arts background, I feel like I really got detailed with my sketches. And every time he would see that, he'd be like, okay, it's not about how pretty it is. Just like make as ugly of a sketch as possible.
That's my issues with sketches, right? Like you see like a portfolio and you see pictures of sketches, like no one sketches that good. Like no one's lines and rectangles are like that perfect on the first try. I think some people forget that like it's supposed to be dirty or it's supposed to like just be scratch.
Yeah, for sure. And I think like the interview process here sort of like reinforces the idea that like sketching is like super, super important and not like detailed, beautiful sketching, but like ugly, messy, quick sketching. Because like one of the things they really look for is like when you're doing a design exercise, like are you able to like stand up and start, you know, externalizing your ideas immediately? Can you like think on your feet? It's not really about like, oh, what is this beautiful like polished stone that I can present at the end, but it's like, how does your brain work basically? Mm-hmm. And I think sketching is a way to get like really agile at that and like use those kinds of skills.
So now I'd like to touch more on the ways, can you cue us again? So now I'd like to touch more on career-oriented parts of design and how students can level up in that. So to start off, how did you get your first professional experience or gig? And what did you do to stand out during that phase of recruiting? Because a lot of students sort of say that, you know, I need work to get work, but you can't, you know, like, you need a case study to get work, but if you don't have work, you can't get the case study.
Right.
So I'm wondering, how did you tackle that situation?
Right, so I think my first work experience was actually at this small startup in the Bay called Intern Match.
Oh, okay, I've heard of this. It's like really popular now.
Really?
Yeah, it's like I see ads for it everywhere, like, you know, on like LinkedIn and stuff.
Oh, cool. Glad to hear that. But yeah, I found my internship through Intern Match, which was a little bit meta. But I think like there wasn't as much of like this chicken and the egg problem as there may seem, because I think if you're like recruiting for interns, you do understand that like this person doesn't have like tons of years of experience.
That's
it's
true.
More about like whatever they did, like maybe it was in a student group and it wasn't necessarily like at a company. It still shows like how they are as a designer or as a person. So if you can just take projects that you've done that may not seem like as legit as if you've already worked somewhere, and like just show how you did those, and also just like be ready for anything. Like I feel like the most important part of the interview is really like the design exercise, because they sort of like see firsthand like how it is you work.
Design exercise, and that like give you like a very abstract problem, and then you either like whiteboard it or send them a deck.
You like work through it together.
And so in those situations, what are some things that you have found to be like really helpful, or something that like you should not do? You mentioned like don't do like pretty sketches, like your whiteboard drawing shouldn't look fire. But what are some things that you keep in mind when you're going through those?
Having a really like strong process okay. is really helpful because then you're not overwhelmed by like the specifics of the problem, but at the same time you're able to think about them like in a very clear-headed way. So like what I like to do is always like take a step back and think about like what are the goals of the users, like what are the users trying to get out of this interaction, what is the company trying to get out of it.
So you're not even talking about the solution yet. You're yeah. thinking about like the background.
Yeah, so I think like it's really important to not like dive straight in because yeah. you want to like frame the problem so that you're not solving the wrong one. So being able to frame a problem really well and look at it from all sides that are important is probably really key because then you're like, you know, at least you're going in the right direction. And I actually find that like writing the goals down and keeping it like in front of you during the whole thing is really important. So you don't like stray from it and get like really excited yeah, about this one thing.
Yeah,
and also just like being able to like show like variety of thought in the beginning. So like come up with many different ideas and don't fall in love with one too quickly. But from there, being able to like dive in, into one and like really show your whole process is really good.
So you were at Intern Match and then went to Spotify the next summer. How did you, or what did you find that you still needed to work on after that first internship? Because I think many students might be in a very similar position where they either were contracting or they have a startup gig, but they definitely want to level up either to Spotify or somewhere else. And what do you think like got you over that hump?
I think for me personally, like, some big differences between the first internship and the next one were like prototyping. I didn't really prototype at my first internship at all. It was more like designing flows. But I saw like how important it was and how it was becoming much more like standard practice for designers. And to like get over that hump, I feel like with anything, like a skill that you don't have but you need to have
yeah.
is just like having that mindset of like, if I chip away at this problem, it's gonna disappear.
Yeah.
So prototyping is one, but in terms of like soft skills, it's kind of different working at a startup versus a big company. They have like a different set of problems. So at a startup, you're like much more like, you know everything that's going on because
yeah.
it's small and yeah. you know basically all the problems that are being had. But at a bigger company, you really have to work with like a ton of different people and different kinds of people.
And different teams.
Yeah. And being able to like move things forward is actually like often design's job. And so like learning that skill of like, you know, how do I move forward this project? How do I meet with the right people and like stuff like that is, I think, really useful at like a big or medium-sized company, and it's not something you necessarily like learn as part of design, mm-hmm. but yeah.
So in that, or following that, where mm-hmm. it's essentially your skill to communicate will
yeah.
help move things forward.
Yeah.
Do you think being involved in the Daily California and iterative design helped you refine that skill of over-communication? Because you might not be able to like actually be like, hey, Spotify, like let me show you how well I can communicate,
and
like, but you want to at least practice that skill before you start working, or just constantly be practicing. Do you think you got that experience through being in those organizations?
Yeah, for sure. I think especially like at the newspaper, right? You're working not just with designers, but you're also working with like writers and photographers and like all these different groups of people that are working together to make this thing happen.
Yeah.
I think working at a big company is really similar to that. So being able to like work on a team where not everybody is a designer is also like super important because you get to learn like how to interface with those people. And the more you can work with engineers also
yeah,
is really great.
And yeah. You worked at Spotify for 2 summers and you're currently full-time now, I think. You said it multiple times. What do you think that Spotify really looks for in designers that
mm-hmm.
they hire, or what do they
yeah.
prioritize that you found after being here for such a long time?
Right. So I think Spotify really emphasizes working with like research and data.
Yeah,
so
Michelle King has like an entire
yeah.
thing about this. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's awesome. It used to be like design was one organization and then like product insights was a different one. And we're actually DPI now. So design and product insights. Mm-hmm. And we have like the same meetings. Our teams like get together really often and we sit like next to each other when we work. And I think that's like very, very important because whenever you're like off on your own just designing for your imagined user, then you're probably going to go astray of like what people, mm-hmm. what problems they're actually running into.
How did you learn how to design with data? Because like you, right. I think that specific thing is like you don't want data to just like 100% influence your design.
Sure.
But you want to be able to like keep it in the back of your head, and finding that balance can be like difficult if you haven't done it before.
Mm.
So how did you learn that throughout your time here?
Right. I think it's almost more of like developing that instinct of not making assumptions. So it's okay. Not necessarily some hard skill of like you need to learn about data science,
yeah.
But it's like just check your assumptions all the time. And like if you don't know something, the answer is probably like
in the data
or like by talking to people. I think talking to people constantly is another thing. Just being like actually curious, like how people work, what makes them tick is super important. Yeah.
And so you did 2 summers here at Spotify, and mm-hmm. I think that's a really unique opportunity in that like you go to the same place twice.
Yeah.
What are some things that you learned from your first experience that you were able to either fix or like you did something different during your second time? Mm-hmm. So I think many students said, you know, you have 4 summers, right? So you're bound to maybe like do 1 or 2 or something like that. Work experiences and learning from those previous ones is really important, whether that's, you know, just from like a design-wise or communication, just professionally. Mm-hmm. So what are some things that you changed up or switched up during your second time here?
Sure, so I think the second time I really thought about like having this like growth mindset. So I don't know if you've heard of it, but.
Yeah, it's like growth and fixed, I think.
Yeah, it's sort of.
So the first time you were fixed, but the second time you were growth.
I don't know if I was like fixed mindset the first time, but I think like the second time I like consciously made a decision that like if something is hard, I'll like try even harder at it versus like being intimidated by something difficult. And that also extends to like the communication thing that we talked about.
Yeah.
So like speaking in bigger forums and meeting with teams that are like totally you think are like far away from what you do every day. That's part of it, and I don't know, I think you're just like constantly learning how to adjust to like work from like versus school. It's such a different world, and you don't even realize it, but you're like picking stuff up all the time. And yeah, I think that's probably not very actionable advice. I know,
but I think it's valid in that like as an intern you're like, oh, like maybe I shouldn't be posting in this group, or like I only have like 10 weeks here. Like, I don't want to waste time talking to like this team on this floor or in this building.
Sure.
Or, like, why do I need to go to that meeting? But I think like you don't, you don't know what you don't know, right? So there could be something that is going on, but since you didn't take the initiative to find out what that is, then you're not going to be able to use it to influence what you're working on.
Right.
And you're there for a very short amount of time. So then all that knowledge can eventually like be very, very important to what you're working on.
Right. And to your point, I think like it's also helpful to just not like pigeonhole yourself into thinking like, oh, I'm just an intern.
Yeah.
I'm only here for 2 months. And like, I don't know, just immerse yourself in that environment and don't think about like, oh, this project is just like going to disappear. And also do the fun stuff because it's just as important getting to know the people as it is like doing work, you know.
So these 5 or 6 questions are questions that we ask every single guest, and they're questions that we essentially accumulated from the different student design communities that exist on Facebook, pulled a bunch of Twitter groups and more, and this is what's on their mind. So the first one is, having the experience that you have, I'm sure there are things you believe that the full-time or the current design industry doesn't quite get about the student design community, and we're wondering if you could speak a little bit to that.
Sure. So I think one of the big things is when people are like hiring a junior designer, they're they're often worried that like they're not going to have enough experience to grapple like all the mini roles that are within the product design role.
Yeah.
Right? So like not someone who can just do like UX thinking, but also someone who can do like visual design and someone who can work with product and all that stuff. But I actually think that like young designers are especially good at this because they've sort of I feel like their view of the design field has really like grown to involve all of these things. So they don't necessarily come from like a background of like just doing graphic design or just doing UX. And so they sort of like already come in with this mindset that like design has like wears all these hats, and they're like really ready to take on all of those different parts of the design role. And I think, yeah, I think that's like one thing that maybe people in like design orgs might underestimate about like design students.
Is that they can do many things and they're not very specialized in one.
Yeah, or that they're like ready to do all of these different things.
That's completely right. And so you have a lot to manage from work, life, previously school,
mm-hmm.
all the organizations you were in. How did you try to, or what did you do? What did you do to try and stay on top of it all?
I think just think about what is most important to you and do that thing first.
And do that thing first. That's a great priority list or to-do list.
Yeah, don't try to like do the low-hanging fruit, because then you'll just be spend all your time doing that. But really think about like what matters, and then try to do that as hard as it may be or intimidating.
And so there's a lot of articles, blogs, newsletters, podcasts, mm-hmm. and more that's in the design industry, and it's a lot of it is like noise. How do you filter out what's relevant to you and what's a good versus what's, you know, just clickbait or things that you think are not going to be helpful to you?
Right. So I actually, maybe this sounds bad, but I don't read like that many product design blogs. Like there are
I don't think that's bad at all. Like I try to avoid everything that says UX now too, because it's just like,
yeah,
it's just like, I feel like it's the same thing over and mm-hmm. over again with different titles and different content.
Yeah.
But it's the same message.
Right. I mean, there are definitely exceptions. Like,
There
are a couple of designers that I follow, and I feel like they have, like, very awesome, like, specific stuff that they talk about. But other stuff, I feel like it's, like, don't sweat it too much, you know? Like, you're working on design, and you're going to learn those things as you do them.
Yeah.
So I feel like the best way to keep on top of like design trends and all that is to be like using all these different products and like having a curiosity for like what's new out there and experiencing it firsthand, mm-hmm. and thinking about it like critically, and like from like a lens of just observing yourself and talking to people. So I wouldn't say like read too many of those design blogs. I feel like that would just stress you out, honestly.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
Do you have any mentors that you follow or that you have to just stay inspired, or websites or books or resources that act as pseudo mentors for you?
Sure. So I think, let's see. I think the people that I work with, as cheesy as that sounds, I feel like I'm learning from them every day. I think pair designing, which is really strange, and I feel like designers don't do it as much as engineers
like
do.
Pair programming is like the thing, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can see why people wouldn't like to do it, but when you do it, you learn a lot about how like other people think and how they approach things.
And how they use
things.
The tools.
Like, yeah.
I remember doing that over the summer, and like Jeff Smith, and he was using Sketch, and I was mm-hmm. like, holy shit, like how did you do that? And
yeah.
You just like pick up things compared to like you trying to memorize every keyboard shortcut. Ever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So just like find people who you think are ballers and just be like, can I watch you?
No, I think that's completely true.
Yeah.
And so as a design leader at Berkeley, when you were there,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure there are a lot of people that came up to you asking for advice. And mm-hmm. I'm sure there's a lot of people listening to us now who would ask the same thing. So do you have any immediate actionable pieces of advice that you'd give to someone listening to this episode right now?
Mm-hmm. Wait, can I do like, sorry, this for the last question, but I want to give a shout out to like my first boss, I guess, who was like the best mentor ever. And yeah, that was like my manager at Intern Match, Kramer. And I feel like he like really inspired me to think about design the way I still think about it today.
And what was some of the things that you took away from working with him?
I think like still a lot of the stuff that I just like talked about today, like thinking about like understanding people first and not getting too caught up and swept up in like the crazy design world. Like still like keeping like abreast of things, but you know, not getting too stressed out about like how shiny things are. Yeah. Like don't get too obsessed about like dribble and stuff like that.
And so as a previous design leader at Berkeley, I'm sure there's a lot of people that came up to you asking for advice as to how to get into design. And I'm sure there's a lot of listeners who would be asking you the same, ask the same question now. Mm-hmm. So what are some immediate actionable pieces of advice you would give to someone listening to this episode?
Immediate actionable advice.
Yeah, so no vague, like, not yet. This is like, because like, I think that's one thing that students always struggle with is like, oh, like you'll be fine. Like, okay, maybe, like, I don't need someone to tell me how to be fine. Like, you know, tell me, like, straight up what is, like, what am I currently doing wrong, and, like, what can I do to fix that? Or what can I do right now? I think you mentioned that when you said, like learn how to over-communicate, like, take these roles and take a different initiative. Don't treat yourself as an intern. But for someone who is, like, literally just starting out.
Yeah. I mean, the most actionable piece of advice is, like, get that portfolio together and don't focus too much on how things look, but like being a good writer and speaker is storyteller. It's like probably one of the most important parts of being a good designer. So being able to tell the story of how you went from like A to B on a project in your portfolio is going to help you out a lot, because like that's what you start with, right?
Like, exactly. Like, you, the work might not be there, but like you can definitely show and tell the work however you want.
Yeah. And you know, don't be afraid to like get coffee with somebody that you admire.
That's true. And so our final and last question is, what's next?
What is next? I think I'm just really looking forward to like all of the work that I'm doing at Spotify, and I feel like it's teaching me a lot of new things. And so I definitely want to do more of that here. One day, I think I want to maybe go back to school for like a totally random degree just to like make things interesting. I think, I don't know. Even the design programs at like MIT Media Lab and stuff, those are really fun because they're like totally out there. They're not like think about the real world, but they're just like do something crazy and fun and exciting. So maybe something like that. Also, I've always wanted to try teaching, but like I don't know if that's like what's next. That's like what's way out next. There. Yeah. I think what's immediately next is like just more of what I'm doing now, which is really satisfying and great. So
awesome. Thank you so much for joining us, Lou. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Students Who Design is written and produced by Sahil Khoja and Omar Abdul-Rahim. Visit our website, studentswho.design, for more information.